Scripture reading for this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Morning, everybody. With the liquid precipitation out there, it's not looking very Christmassy this morning. But I have it on good authority that it's beginning to cost a lot like Christmas. So be careful with your bank accounts, everybody. I'm going to preach some nativity things today. But I don't want you to think that this is just another Christmas sermon. Okay? There's some real meat that we need to get out of this in application for our life. Assuming that the birth of Christ is on the minds of most of us this morning, let me use this opportunity to reveal the significance of the birth of Christ. The first thing that we note in its significance is that it was prophesied. We went all the way back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. There's the prophecy of a virgin birth. It's also in Matthew chapter 1, 23, where it's fulfilled. It would portend the establishment of the kingdom of God, according to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. We'd also go back to the old prophet Micah, and we'd find out that Jesus' birth in Bethlehem would give Israel a new ruler, Micah 5, 2. And his reign would not only bless Israel, but to the ends of the earth, according to verses 3 through 5 in Micah. The significance of Jesus' birth is that God dwelt among men and subsequently established his kingdom or his reign that now reaches to the ends of the earth. There's other significance that we need to understand. His birth was promised to Joseph. If we went back to Matthew 1, 18 through 21, the promise to Joseph is that Jesus' birth signified salvation from sin. We would see that a Savior was being sent for the world. We'd find out through reading regarding John the Baptist that in John 1, 29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." To Mary, his mother, his birth and subsequent reign would fulfill the promise made to David. Jesus would sit on the throne of David. If we saw that, we'd go all the way back to 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 13, and we'd see its fulfillment listed in Luke 1, 26 through 35. It would also fulfill the promise found in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. That it would be an enduring kingdom. We would see that Jesus' birth was proclaimed by angels. If we looked over in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, his birth presented to the world a Savior and Lord, and it offered peace and goodwill to men. You know, I was thinking, I mentioned this to a couple of folks caroling the other night. Westerville's not going to have a Christmas parade this year because they can't get together with the city. And I said, so much for peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The world just does not understand how to get along without Christ. And Christ would bring that understanding if we focus on it. We'd also see that it was proclaimed by Simeon. His birth would result in giving light to the Gentiles and glory to Israel, Luke 2, 25 through 32. it would be celebrated. It would also result in the fall and rising of many in Israel, along with revealing of many hearts. Jesus coming to the world was going to make people think and choose. They would have to figure out who they were going to follow. You know, there's been many times over the years that I've prayed for somebody to become a Christian. And I've started asking God, just give them a realization of the choice they're making. Are they going to choose you, or are they going to choose the wrong way? Give them a realization of the choice. And that way they can make a decision about who they're going to follow. So Simeon knew that Jesus coming into the world was not going to be wonderful for everyone because they would not choose to follow him. And then this morning, as was read in our presence, we see when Jesus was presented at the temple as a child that the prophetess Anna was there. She, like many others, was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem, according to Luke 2:36-38. She spoke of how Jesus' birth had great significance for them. But I want you to key in on verse 38. She spoke to all looking for the redemption of Israel. When she understood that Jesus had come, she didn't just say, "Oh, well, I got to see him. I'm happy now." It had an impact in her life. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She was telling the story. She was telling about who he was. It had an impact in her life. The significance of the birth of Jesus is that it made possible the establishment of the kingdom of God. It made possible the redemption and salvation from sin for both Jew and Gentile. It made possible peace and goodwill among men. Of course, such things would not have been possible without the subsequent suffering and death of Jesus on the cross. It would not have been possible without his resurrection and ascension to Christ at the right hand of God. And it would not have been possible without sending the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles in all truth. And we have written in the scriptures the truth that they were given. These things were necessary for us to understand the significance of the birth of Christ. Whenever one reflects on Jesus' birth, they should ask themselves, "He came to be my Lord and Savior, to save me from sins and reign as King of my heart. Have I fulfilled the significance of his birth by responding to the significance of his death, burial, and resurrection?" These are things that are very important. It's also important for us to understand what it means to the way that we act on a daily basis. Excuse me, I got dry mouth this morning. You know, we've been talking a lot about salt and light lately. And I'm going to review a little bit of that, but then I'm going to ask you some questions for you to think about in your mind. A question that I would ask you to think of when it comes to salt and light is, have I fulfilled the significance of Jesus' birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, as being salt and light? Do I understand what it means to be a Christian? You know, I'm not just here as plankton. You guys know what plankton is? They're little tiny creatures in the sea, not very big. They just float along with the waves, and they wait for the whales to come along and eat them. Okay, they're very benign. You know, I do understand that they float up to the surface, and then they get what they need, and then they float back down to the depths. But that's all they do. They're food. They just exist. As Christians, do we just exist or do we serve? As Christians, do we just exist or do we believe? As Christians, when we're hurt, do we just go into our shells or do we say, I love Jesus and I'm going to serve him anyway? What do we do? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you are salt, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by people. The question I would ask regarding this is, what are you flavoring yourself with? If Jesus' birth and death and burial and resurrection is significant to you, what are you seasoning yourself with? Are you just becoming blah? Anybody ever eat food that's not been seasoned? Not good, right? I saw a lady making lemon curd yesterday for these lemon bars. Man, they look good. They had flavor. She had salt in there. She used tartaric acid to boost the lemon. You guys can write these tips down if you're making these, okay? She really understood what it took to make something flavorful. As Christians, we need to be flavorful. We need to have that recipe in our life. You know, this morning we got an opportunity to hear a message from David in Bible class, and it was a great one. David is a stellar teacher. He does a fantastic job. I like coming to church because I hear the perspectives that he has, and I know that I'm getting filled up with good things. When we have the summer adult series and we have different people, I try to put the best meat on the table I can for you folks, okay? Because I want you to be built up. I want you to be salt. I want you to be able to go out into the world and use the salt that is in you to flavor other people. What are you flavoring yourself with? If you believe that the birth of Christ was significant, are you working to study, to understand? Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt becomes all salty, with what will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Have that salt. Being a disciple of Christ gives us flavor as we seek to follow him, learning his ways and becoming more like him. Colossians 4:6 says, your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. You want to get salty? Understand the scriptures so you understand how to talk to other people. We've talked a lot about light lately, and we've been encouraged strongly to shine our lights. Are we willing to light our light? Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We're put here to do things. We're put here to work. And our actions are seen by others. You know, we're out caroling Friday night. Some of us had little flashlights so we could see the words. Some of us used our little phones and the flashlights there. People used light to be able to see. When I'm driving down 605, in my car, I'm really happy because my car's got nice bright lights. I don't like driving Kira's lights. Her lights in her car are from 2010 and anyway. It's hard to see the road out there with her car. Okay? You got to have light to see. And the people around us need to see us. Not for what we do, but because we do things motivated towards Christ. Matthew 10:27 says, "What I tell you in darkness, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops." When we come together and we hear the word, it's not just for us. Proclaim it. Be happy to proclaim it. Tell others. Get it out there. Change your hearts. We need to understand that light in our life is important and doing work is important. Luke 12:3 says, "Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops." Are you proclaiming your faith to others? I would also ask you, are you willing to get brighter? Let's go over to Matthew 6:22. "The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" You say, "Well, Alan, that's pretty easy for you to preach that, but it isn't very easy to do." Okay, I'm almost 62. I've said this before. To some of you, that's a spring chicken. To others, probably Anthony, I'm an old guy. Okay? I've run into my trials in this life. I've run into things that have hurt me. What do you do? Are you willing? Are you just going to ball up and hide from the world? Or are you going to say, "God, I trust you. And I'm going to get brighter. And even though I'm enduring this difficulty, this trial, this issue in my life, maybe it's even the brethren around me that are hurting me. I hope not. Am I going to be stronger? Am I going to grow in you? Is that lamp in my body going to become brighter? Am I going to do the things that make me stronger in the Lord?" You know, Luke 11:33 says, "No one lights a lamp and puts it away in a cellar, nor under a basket, but on the lampstand, so that those who may enter may see the light." And rightly, we've been teaching, you got to put your light out where people can see it. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's times when we don't want to shine our lights, when we're hurt, when maybe we're afraid of what someone's going to do to us. There are times when that light, we just want to keep it to ourselves. It doesn't do us any good when we just keep it to ourselves. So I come down to this point. Alan, everything you said, yeah, okay. But man, that just sounds really hard. To be salty when I don't have much flavor, or to have light when I don't want to have light. To be salty and light when I'm tired. Man, that just sounds hard. This weekend was a good weekend for this congregation. And David alluded to it this morning. You know, we went out Friday night to multiple houses. And we showed the love of this congregation for various people. We got together, we ate, we prayed. We did acts of putting things together, the baskets. And we took them out into the world. Yesterday, many of us were able to come together and support a family who was having difficulty with the passing of a loved one. Either it was making food for a meal, or hosting that, or going to the funeral home, or just giving somebody a hug there and letting them know that you love them. Showing a family that is not normally comfortable being in a church that we are approachable people. That was a good thing. This morning we've come together to worship God. And you bet those people going by on 65 see those cars in our parking lot. And they understand that there's people here who believe in God. That's a statement to this community. There's other things that we've done. We go out to the fair. We go to Harlem Township Days. We make giving our light and being salty for others hard in our minds. Like that's, oh, I can't ever be salt. That's too hard. Oh, my bright's not so bright. You know, I don't like driving my wife's car on 605, but I'd rather have something. So if I'm driving your car, I'm going to follow the lights, no matter what brightness they are. We make being salt and light hard in our mind. You know, the old saying, if just a cup of water I place within your hand, there's sometimes when just being kind to somebody and letting them know that you act according to a different purpose is all you got to do. My encouragement to you this morning is to understand that, yes, we're supposed to get to grow and mature and be better servants. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not a nuclear light right now, okay? I'm not a lighthouse even, okay? But I got a flashlight that I can use, and I'm going to use it. Use what you have. Try to grow if you want to be stronger and brighter and saltier. But start somewhere. That's the significance of the birth of Christ, in my view. He came and he died, yes. He came in the form of flesh so that he might save us. And when he came, he spread the light of God to others. And by doing so, he set an example for each of us so that we would do the same. So this time of year, yes, be thankful that he was born. But realize that just being born wasn't the point. He was born for a purpose. And he gave us a purpose to be salt and light in the world. This morning, if your salt and light isn't so salty, if it's not so bright, if you need help, we want to pray with you. If you've never been a Christian and you have heard the word and you understand that Christianity is not just something that we do, it's a life change. We get our sins forgiven and we rise to walk in newness of life. If we can baptize you, we would love to do that today. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and sing.